Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Genesis, chapter 37. We commence reading at the verse 23. Let's follow the reading of God's holy word. Genesis, chapter 37, and we commence reading at the verse 23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors, that was with him, or on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of the Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm of myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, and our flesh, and our brethren, and his brethren were content. Then they passed by Midianite merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and returned unto his brethren, and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors. They brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know not whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Amen, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to study thy word this morning. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt lead us in our study, meditation, and we pray that thou wilt bless our hearts and do us good. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day, we were looking at this 37th chapter of the book of Genesis in the life of Joseph. And remember in the verse number 15 that a certain man found Joseph, and he was wandering in the field. And there we saw Joseph searching, and he was wandering in the field looking for his brethren. And then we noticed in verses 16 and 17, we notice his sincerity, because having gone to Shechem, and finding his brothers were not there, he could have easily turned back and come home and said, Father, I went to Shechem as you told me. But of course, his father didn't only tell him to go to Shechem, but to see if his brethren, it was well with his brethren. And so therefore, he went on, and we see his sincerity completely fulfilling, desirous to fulfill his father's will. And then we notice that as he makes his way to Dothan, where his brothers were, we see his scorning, verses 18 down to verse number 20, where they scorned him and said, here cometh the dreamer. In other words, the master of dreams. And his brethren, who slighted the revelation that God had given to Joseph, and God recorded their actions. God knew exactly what they were doing, what they were saying. And of course, that was proving to us that God didn't abandon Joseph, but the Lord was traveling with him and going with him all the way. It certainly was a lonely time in the life of Joseph, but thank God the passage before us proves to us that God knew everything that was happening to Joseph. And that's what we were singing a few moments ago concerning, well, I don't know what lies ahead, but thank God I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things just don't happen, but everything by him is planned. And he knew everything was happening to Joseph, and he knew exactly what he, even the sufferings of this present time, that what he was going through, it wouldn't be worthy to be compared to the glory that would be revealed in him later on. And so then we come to verses number 21 down to verse 21 and 22. And there we see his supplicant. In other words, his brother Reuben, who supplicated for him to his brothers not to kill him. And he was his eldest brother. And Reuben, he hadn't the courage, you remember, he hadn't the courage to stand up for what was right. He hadn't the courage to stand up for Joseph, but he had a secret plan. In other words, he had a cowardly plan. He had a plan that he would, in his own way, he was going to deliver him. And so there was a pit nearby, and there was no water in it, so therefore he knew that he could put the brother in, and if they put the brother in, he could easily get him out. There was no water in it, and of course he would easily rescue. That was his plan, that he, how he was going to rescue his brother. But of course, whenever he said to them, he said, you know, put him in, cast him, verse 22, cast him into this pit in the wilderness. And of course, what he was saying to him, listen, you don't have to kill him. Because if you cast him into a pit and it's in the wilderness, sure, he's going to starve. He's going to starve to death. There's no water in it, so therefore he's going to not only be thirsty, but there's nothing else in it. So he's going to starve to death. So rather than you killing him, why don't you have his blood on your hand? And of course, that's the way he sold it to his brethren, because he had a plan that he was going to deliver him. Sure, let him starve to death in this cistern that is without water. Now, Reuben's sin, of course, was that in his heart he wanted to deliver Joseph out of the hands of his brother, but he hadn't the courage to do it right. He hadn't the courage to stand by. His efforts were weak, and his efforts were spineless. And, of course, I remember old Dr. Bob Jones, the senior, said, do right should the stars fall. And it's interesting that whenever his father was speaking about Reuben in the 49th chapter, he said this concerning Reuben. He says, unstable as water. He was weakless. He was spineless. He hadn't the courage to do. He knew what was right to do, but he hadn't the courage to do it. And, of course, there are many preachers today, and they know what's right in the preaching of the gospel, even those that profess to be saved, and yet they water it down just to suit the crowd. They're afraid of what will be said about them or what will be said to them. And although they know what is right to preach the gospel and to preach it with clarity and plainness, that a wayfaring man, though a fool, should not err therein, and yet they're not willing to do it. And so they skirt around it. And I've heard many preachers, and I can tell you this, you have to dig deep before you get a grain of gospel there. And yet they say, oh, I'm a gospel preacher. Because they haven't the courage to preach it as God gives it. And so Reuben kept silent. He kept silent over this despicable act. And he kept silent for 22 years. He kept silence. But you know, all of those years, he was guilt-ridden. He never forgot. Because as I said, if you turn to chapter 42, whenever he was down there in Egypt and his brethren were there and they were facing the situation, this man, this big governor was there, and my, they were in a difficult situation. Their back was against the wall. And my, in chapter 42 and verse 22, and Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child. Oh my, he's talking about it now. Oh yes, he didn't say, you know, he's really calling it now what it is. He says, do not sin. Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them. And so therefore, this was an interesting moment, because natural fact, I was thinking about that. Because it says they didn't know that Joseph understood them. You think about that. Because in actual fact, it was that day, 22 years later, that Joseph found out listening into the conversation of his brother. And this is what Reuben said. Did speak not I unto you, saying, do not sin against the child. And that was the first time in 22 years that Joseph heard that Reuben had tried to deliver him. He never knew it before. 22 long years had passed, and it wasn't until he was listening into the conversation 22 years later that he found out that actually Reuben did care. All of those years, he thought, there was nobody of his brothers cared. They didn't care about him. They didn't care about the hurt of their father and the destruction of Joseph's life. And after 22 years, in one little sentence, Joseph found out, you know, Reuben did plead for me. Reuben did care. My eldest brother, the eldest one of the family, the firstborn of the family, he did speak up for me. And I'm sure that's why it says there that whenever he heard it, it said this in verse 24 of Genesis 43, and he turned himself away from them and he wept. I believe it broke his heart that day. Reuben did care. You know, Reuben did. I thought nobody spoke up for me. As they were jostling me, as they were hurting me, as they were tearing the coat from off my back, there was not one of them spoke up and said, don't do it, boys. Don't do it. Because you see, the interesting thing was this. That whenever Reuben said to his brothers, he said, go back now to chapter 37, verse 21. It says, and Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hand and said, let us not kill him. But Joseph hadn't arrived there. It was when they saw Joseph coming. And here where brothers were talking among themselves, Joseph hadn't actually come at this particular time. Joseph was in the distance. They recognized him with his father's coat, the coat of many colors upon him. And so therefore, Joseph couldn't hear that. But 22 years later, he hears Reuben had been pleading for his life, but he said, let us not kill him. But he didn't say, it's a sin. Oh, yes, 22 years, he said, listen, did I not say, don't sin against him? Don't sin against him. He's now calling it sin, for that's exactly what it was. And then we come to verse 23, and we come to his stripping. Because it says, and it came to pass that when Joseph was come, now he has come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and they cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. See, not only did the brothers speak spitefully, not only did they speak spiteful words, but that led to the next thing. They worked spiteful actions. And so they spitefully take off that coat that the father gave them, that coat that signified the father's special love, and they despised that coat because they knew exactly what that was. It designated Joseph's position. It spake to them of his rank, and they didn't want it. They didn't want the position that the father had given unto Joseph. They wanted to demote Joseph. And so they take the coat and they pull the coat off him and they throw him into the pit. We have already looked last Lord's Day between verses 24 and 25. It's not there, but it is in Genesis, later on in Genesis 42. And that is Joseph's sorrow. And Joseph's sorrow. You remember Joseph was like the Savior that stripped the clothes of the Savior. They took the robe of the blessed Son of God, friend, and then they whipped him and they left him in the pit. Remember, he was put into the pit too. He was left that night after the meeting in the Sanhedrin. He was put down into the pit, and there in the loneliness of the night, the Savior wept in loneliness there. And then we come to verse 25, and we see his selling. It says, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of the Ishmaelites came from Gilead, and their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. sitting down. They're on the plain of Dothan. Now, that plain was a main thoroughfare in Palestine. And along that road, they see in the distance, they see a caravan traveling. Now, you say, what do you mean, caravan? What that means is this. They saw a long string of camels and a crowd of people coming in the distance. And they were moving slowly up the valley towards them. And they guessed who the people were. They were Ishmaelites. They were descendants there. They were of the Arab race, descendants of Ishmael, coming from Gilead, bearing spices and balm and myrrh. Why were they carrying those? Because in those days, those were products that abounded in the woods and the pasture lands of eastern Palestine, and they were in great demand in Egypt. You know what for? From embalming. Embalming. And they were in great demand down there in Egypt. And so therefore these were merchant men, and they were making their way, and they were coming from Gilead, and they were going down to Egypt. And in the midst of this, Judah, as they're sitting down and they're watching the scene, Judah speaks up. And Judah says, you know, we don't need to kill this boy. We can sell him. We can sell him. And so Judah, he thought about the, there was a great demand, not only for spicery, not only for products for embalming, but there's a great demand in Egypt for slaves. And probably in that gathering that was there, in that great caravan traveling there of people and animals, there would have been slaves. And so therefore, they realized, listen, why don't we sell him? Why don't we sell him? He came up with this idea. We'll dispose with Joseph easier. We'll not have to shed his blood. We'll not have to kill him. We'll not even have to let him starve. Let's sell him. He's thinking of what he could get for him. That's all he cared about. Notice what it says in verse 6. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit? What profit? What will we gain if we kill him? Come on, boys. Let's sell him. Come, let us sell him, verse 27. Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother. Oh, yes, he's talking very friendly now. Oh, we'll not kill him. You see, he's our brother. We'll just sell him. We'll just sell him as a slave. And so the hypocrisy of the sanctimonious words, he is our brother and our flesh. You know, sometimes people can put sanctimonious words over wrong deeds and wrong words. But friend, it didn't cut with God. You notice it's God's recording all of this. It's not Joseph's recording this. God has recorded. This is the word of the Lord here. God has recorded this conversation. And notice what it says there in the end of verse 27. And his brothers were content. You know, that's a good idea. I think we could live with that. I think we could live selling our brothers as slaves. They were content. See their hard heart. And so they left Joseph out of the pit and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. 20 pieces of silver. And then they brought Joseph into Egypt. You know, they would say to the Ishmaelites, what did you give me for him? What did you give? And they struck a deal. 20 pieces of silver. Does that remind you of anything? Do you remember when Judas Iscariot was selling the Savior? Judas Iscariot says, what will you give me? What will you give me for him? And they settled on the bargain. 30 pieces of silver, because that was the price of a slave. And it says there, And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Sold, the deal's done. And the brethren are content. But there was one brother who wasn't there. That's right, Reuben. Reuben wasn't there. Why wasn't? Well, perhaps he was away looking the flock. He'd left the brothers. He was looking the flock. He was looking after his father's flock. Probably in another way, he was wanting to get away on his own. He wanted to think this through. He had got his brothers decided not to kill him, to put him down into the pit, and he wanted to go alone and get amongst his thoughts. And how would he carry out his plan of his final delivery? How would this scheme work out that he had planned in his head? So he goes off on his own. And then he comes back. Look at verse 29. And Reuben returned onto the pit. He comes back. Probably has the plan settled. This is what I'm going to do. Reminds me of the man in the scriptures. What'll I do? And he tossed and he turned and he tossed and he turned. He had so much goods, he had no place to put it. The rich farmer. And he said, and then he came to this decision. This will I do. And he says, right, I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build greater. I'm going to say to my soul, you've much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He had it all planned. He had all worked. And probably it's true that Reuben had the plan all worked out, and he came back to the pit, and it says, and Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. He came back, and he found that Joseph was not there. You know, the Bible tells us that whenever he returned, then he returned to his brother, verse 30, and he said unto his brethren, the child is not, and whither shall I go? You imagine the fear that was in Reuben's heart when he looked into that pit and it was empty? You imagine the fear that was in Joseph's heart when they were pulling him out of it and selling him. What was the future? Could Joseph not honestly sing what we sang this morning? I know not what the future holds. Because I can tell you, whenever they were dragging him up out of the pit and he saw these strangers, he saw these men, and they had settled the deal, and they clapped their hands together and settled the seal. They handed Joseph, their brother, over into the hands of the Ishmaelites. He didn't know what the future held. He felt that nobody cared. And yet I believe through it all, there was something sustained Joseph. Number one, he knew the father would always love him. And although father wasn't there to tell him it, he knew father still loved him. And he loved his father. And he believed that God loved him too. Notice what it tells us in God's word. We read it this morning in our verse over in Acts chapter 7, and the Lord was with him. That's what sustained him. Knowing the Lord was with him. An uncertain future, being sold into the hands of these men that he did not know. They didn't care about Joseph. His brothers didn't care about Joseph. When he was sold into Potiphar's house, they didn't care. But thank God he knew that God cared. The Lord was with him. Thank God that's something that comforts God's people today. That if nobody else cares, God does. God wrote on my heart a little verse I saw on a mantelpiece many years ago, and it was this: God knows, God loves, God cares. Joseph could have written those words. God knows, God loves, God cares. Nothing this truth shall dim.
For God gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him. And that's what sustained him, that God cares for his people. He careth for you. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Maybe sometimes, friend, you're lonely. Maybe life's tough. Maybe you don't know who to trust. Maybe you don't know what's around the corner, and somehow life's just an amaze, and sometimes you just can't think straight. Notice it says in the psalmist, no man cared for my soul. You ever felt like that? Nobody cares. Friend, God does. You're never out of God's love. You are never out of God's care. For God not only cares for his people, thank God, God comforts his people. For yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. And that's what sustained them. Turn to chapter 39 of Genesis. Look at verse number 2. It says this, or verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. And my, what a comfort that is, to know that God cares. That God comforts. Thinking about David. You know, he experienced periods of abuse in his life. He experienced former friends and family that turned upon him. You remember Absalom? Absalom sought to take his throne. You remember Shimei, Benjamin? He cursed him and he was driven out of Jerusalem. Many times David was wounded, but the Lord comforted him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Not only does God care for his people, not only does God comfort his people, thank God, God controls the circumstances of his people. And Reuben returns, but Joseph's gone. Listen, friend. Reuben's plan failed, but God's plan didn't. Isn't that lovely? Reuben's plan, the plans of men and the schemes of man, I want to tell you this, even those against the child of God, the plans of man will fail, but praise God, the plans of God will never fail. And Reuben's heart was broken. Notice what it says. It tells us there that when he returned, verse 30, he returned unto his brethren and he said, the child is not. And whither shall I go? Whither shall I go? What was he saying? He says, where shall I hide? Where shall I hide from my father's wrath? You see, Reuben was the elder brother. Reuben was one, yes, that had responsibility over the rest of the brethren. And he knew what Joseph meant to his father. He said, whither shall I go? How can I face my father without the child? Without the child. Do you know that moment, friend? Reuben paid a price for his weakness. And for over 20 years, he carried guilt and he carried remorse for his action. He never forgot it. I wish. Why didn't I have the courage to stand up for you, Joseph? And he looks into the empty pit. And he thought his brother would be waiting on him. And he had a plan to make him escape. But it was too late. You see, Reuben's plan failed. But God didn't. Because notice everything that God did, it was always at the right time. Listen, when they were wanting to shed his blood, at the right moment, the Ishmaelites came down the road. At the right moment, Joseph was sold into Potiphar's, the captain of Pharaoh's guard, his house. At the right moment, Joseph was sent to prison to meet the king's cupbearer. At the right moment, Joseph was brought out of the prison and he was raised to power in Egypt. At the right moment, God used Joseph to spare his father's house from famine. Yes, God knew the right time. The right time for intervention, for God's never too early and God's never too late. He's always at the right time. Now listen, Reuben came back, but he was too late. Reuben had his plans, but his plans misfired. And he said, "Where is he? Where is my brother?" And they said, "He's away down the road with the Ishmaelites. They have him." And friend, that was true. The Ishmaelites had Joseph that moment. But God was in control. Because God was with him. And you may face difficult parts in the journey. And you may face trials and you may face trouble. But I tell you, my friend, there is a blessed comfort. If you have the Savior, and you know that your life is hid there in Christ, you know that everything's in your Father's control, your Heavenly Father. What a comfort that brings. What a joy. What a peace in the midst of the storm. My Heavenly Father not only watches over me, but my Heavenly Father is in control of me. Very quickly. Not only his selling, but notice his sprinkled coat. You know, whenever Reuben cried out there, "How to face my father," it never broke the brother. Listen. It never flinched them. That's how hard you can get, you know. Never flinched them. Tell me what they do. Just says this, look at verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat. And they killed a kid of the goats. And they dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors. And they brought it to their father. And they said, "This have we found." Liars. Liars. "This have we found. Know not whether it be thy son's coat." And no. He knew it and said, "It's my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes. And he put on sackcloth upon his loins. And he mourned for his son many days." And here's the hypocrisy. Look at verse 35. "And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him." What hypocrisy. Rose up to comfort him. It was a lie. It was all a lie. And now they're pretending, "Father, we care about you." They put their arms around him, tell him, "We're sorry about Joseph, we're sorry. We'll try to make up." Hypocrites. What liars. He said, "I'll go down into the grave unto my son mourning." And they stood back and they watched their father weep for Joseph. But it doesn't say they shed a tear. If they didn't care about Joseph, then had they no care about their father? Had they no thought about the hurt that caused him? And the brothers took Joseph's coat and they killed the kid. And they dipped the coat in the blood. And that would make it look as if a wild animal had torn Joseph. But you know, that's interesting. Have you thought about it? Do you find the interesting part here? Because remember, actually the chickens were coming home to roost. On who? On their father? Two. Do you remember the story of Jacob? Just set your mind back, go back in your mind's eye, read it in your own time, chapter 27 of the book of Genesis. And you remember Jacob came into his father's presence. And his father was an old man, and he was blind, and he couldn't see. And Jacob, he pretended that he was his brother. And to do that, what did he have to do? He had to take two young goats. Two young kids. And they were killed, and then he put the skin of the goats onto his arms. And his father, when he felt him, he thought it was his hairy brother Esau. Isn't it interesting? He deceived his father with the goats. And his sons deceived him with shedding the blood of the goat and dipping his coat into that. Well, I know time's away, friend, but listen, I want to, because we've got to finish this in this respect. You know, Jacob came to the wrong conclusion that day. And sometimes we can jump to the wrong conclusions. Because had Jacob thought this out, friend, he could have never come to the conclusion he did. Notice what he said. He says in verse 33, Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. They said, we found this. Oh, he said, a wild animal has killed him. But here's the question. How could the wild animal rend Joseph in pieces without two rending the coat in pieces? But the coat was intact. Do you think the wild animal said, Joseph, I want to tear you to bits. Would you take off that lovely coat and just leave it over to the side and I'll sprinkle a few drops of my blood on it? Not at all, friend. You see, the brothers thought they were smart, but they're actually foolish. Because they said a wild animal, they give the idea that the wild animal had torn them to pieces, rent them to pieces, and yet there was a full coat, fully intact. But you see, friend, when sorrow came in, when sorrow took over, Jacob couldn't see straight. He couldn't think straight. And when he saw the coat, even though it was together, intact, and his brothers had led him and said, we found this. Do you think it's Joseph's? He said, yes. And it was covered in blood. It was dipped in the blood of the goat. And he said, a wild animal has rent him in pieces. And he lived years thinking that. And they let him. Oh, son, makes you hard, friend. You say, how hard can a man be? I'll tell you, friend, as I close, how hard a person can be that men and women can sit in a gospel meeting and know that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood upon the cross of Calvary that they might be saved. And man's heart is so hard and said, what's that to us? And they reject Christ. And they'll go to hell when the Savior's blood can take them to heaven. That's how hard you can be in your sin. May God soften you today. May God break your heart for Jesus' sake. Heavenly Father, bless thy word this morning. Take thy word and write it upon every heart. And grant that not one today will leave this gathering without standing by faith at the foot of a cross and crying out, Lord, save me, I perish. Oh God, may salvation come to this house today. We ask it for Jesus' sake.